6:02, call the meeting to order of the Ashland Tree Commission. First up, I guess it'd be approval of minutes from last month. Anybody had a chance to review those and like to make a motion to approve or not?
I make a motion to approve.
A second?
All those in favor?
Maybe by a show of hands. Thank you. Okay, liaison reports. Peter Boffman, you guys have been busy.
Right. As many of you know, the wind did a large removal in Lithia Park. It took out a 42-inch, 100-foot red oak tree on the lawn right near the rose garden. And it didn't appear to have rotten roots or anything. It looked like the soil was loose and sandy. And I assume it just got big enough so it maybe reached that critical point where that the wind was strong enough and probably heavy from the summer water uptake. But we're all sorry to see that go. But I guess over time, a number of trees will fail, and that was one of the larger ones. So we'll just have to replant, and it'll be a long time before we get a tree of that stature there again.
Did anyone do a ring count, Peter?
It looked like about 75 years, and one of the Tom Foster, some of you know, came down, and he said he had heard that Chet Corey planted that tree at about that long ago. He thinks, I think, in the 40s, or that was an old Lithia Park director.
Peter, I was curious about the lawn around it, and if it hadn't had lawn within its drip line, would the roots have gone down more? Would it have less of a propensity to fail if there hadn't been lawn all around the base of the tree?
That could certainly have been a factor. It looked like the roots were quite shallow. I know that often roots are, but yeah, a lawn is not always the best thing right up around a tree. So having a bed of those eastern oaks do need some water. They're not our drought tolerant native oaks, but still, that may have been a contributing factor.
Peter, was that the big black oak that was like the Masters Challenge 2 years ago for the climbing competition?
Right, exactly. The big, it's an eastern or northern red oak. That was the one where we had the big. Yeah.
Well, when we were setting up that challenge, I noticed a fruiting body at the very base of the tree. And I think other people saw it too, and they're just like, well, it's a big tree. It's not going to fall over now, but in 2 years from that time, that's amazing.
Yeah, we have noticed a few smaller fruiting bodies over the years, but it didn't look like it was like that black oak that fell on the tennis courts a couple months ago had extensive root rot, but this one didn't have that. As Aaron said, shallow roots, but that's hard to know exactly if that was it, the loose soil. So it's,
anything be done with the log? You're going to mill it up? And
yeah, we saved some big logs. I think someone's going to, not sure exactly what's going to be done, but
yeah,
I think someone's going to mill it or use it for something. So it's a nice wood.
Yeah. Always like that. There's that entry table where we usually meet in person, right? Made of that ailanthus tree that came out at the entrance of Lithia Park.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Kind of neat. But
it is neat, yeah. So.
Well, shoot. Anything else in your world to share?
Nothing too interesting I can think of right now. So.
Yeah.
Was that the only big tree that came down in the windstorm?
Oh, it went in the process. It knocked down a I think it was a 30-inch spruce tree that was next to it, and broke a mimosa, which was already in fairly poor shape. And then a few shrubs. But yeah, otherwise, must have been a real specific wind gust there. There was not that much other damage, really, anywhere.
Is that the same windstorm that took out the blue cedar on Granite?
That happened on just a calm day. We were down there in the park, and I heard just this cracking, and then it took out a power line. And
yeah,
that
had quite a lean on it.
So. Yeah, that just, I think, got to the point where it couldn't support itself. Yeah, there's nothing going. That was happened maybe a week earlier or so.
Okay. Sorry about that.
That's okay. So Aaron, if you have a report beyond what's in front of us.
Yeah, just two quick things. We got a letter. By that I mean it was addressed to John Stromberg, but it is from Mr. Cliff Bentz of the Second District of Oregon, congratulating us on being certified again as a Tree City USA. So it's not every day you get a letter in the mail on stationery from Congress. So I thought I would share that with all of you.
Awesome.
And then the only other thing is in terms of commission meetings updates, as we were talking slightly before the meeting began, council met back in person for two times. And then it was decided Monday of this week that they would return to Zoom. Ironically, one of the items that was on the agenda was how to handle both council meetings and advisory commission meetings moving forward. Part of what's enabled this is that we're still under the emergency provisions because the code as written doesn't necessarily allow for that. And so one of the things they were talking about on Tuesday was to give staff guidance on what that may look like going forward. And, you know, there's a number of possibilities. Do we entertain hybrid? Do we potentially allow commissions to continue to meet virtually for the convenience of it? I was at the council meeting, but left before they got into the meat of that particular item. So I do not know what the outcomes of that were. But of course, as we know more, I'll keep you up to date. But it stands to reason that at least for the immediate future, we're going to continue to be in this format.
Okay.
So that's about all I have.
Do commissions have a say about that?
I'm sorry, Aaron? Say that again, Kat.
Do commissions have a say about whether they remain on Zoom or go back to in-person, or is it up to the city to determine that?
I think this is going to be – we're going to be told what we're going to do, because the impression that I got was that there's a desire for consistency across all of the advisory commissions. So that's not certain. But that is my understanding of the direction they were headed in.
Okay, thanks.
And that's all I have, Chris.
Okay, great. Well, with that, and I should point out, I am on a bit of a time constraint tonight. I'll have to leave at 7. But so we should probably discuss reordering the agenda a bit just to help folks that are here.
Yeah, so the only one that's not represented is 1320 Oregon. So we should go ahead and start with the Birchwood one, because Jerry, while she doesn't want to present on her behalf, she is here to hear that application be dealt with. Okay. So,
and honestly, and this is probably one I should recuse myself of. We do quite a bit of work in the Birchwood HOA. I think it just feel more appropriate on this one for me to sit it out. So
that's fine. Would you like me to go ahead and make you be attendee for while we handle this one?
Sure.
Okay. All right. So with Chris out as an attendee, who would like to conduct the hearing, and do they have a copy of the script?
I have a copy, and I'm happy to read the blurb. You say this is the 15, that's East Main. You said this is Oregon.
We're dealing with the 2181 Birchwood first.
Which item is that on the list?
The very first one.
Best one.
Do you have an old packet?
Yes. I do. Kat, if you want to take over reading the blurb, I'll go get the current packet.
I don't have the introductory blurb, but I can read the packet introduction if that's what you'd like.
Well, so we have the two things that have to be read, and I have them in front of me, so I can go ahead and do it if you'd prefer. There's the procedure that has to be read first, and then followed by the second that asks for ex parte and all of that. Okay. With your permission, I'll go ahead and read the script for the opening. This is the time and the place for the Tree Commission review portion of the land use public hearing. If you wish to speak at the hearing, please keep your comments and testimony limited in scope to issues, comments, or concerns pertaining to the landscaping and trees. The following procedure will be used in this hearing. The public hearing will be open to those interested in stating their positions regarding the matter to be considered, will be invited forward to speak. During the public hearing portion, all who wish to give testimony regarding the specific application are encouraged to do so. If you wish to speak for, against, or comment in any way, please come forward at the table at the appropriate time and give your name, address, and make your statement. At the beginning of the public hearing, staff will present its report on the action and the conditions of approval. At this time, commissioners will have the opportunity to ask staff questions. After the staff report, the applicant and the applicant's representative will have 15 minutes to present the proposal. The commissioners may ask questions of the applicant or the applicant's representatives without affecting the 15-minute time allocated to the applicant's presentation. 4. Other members of the audience will be allowed to speak regarding the application and shall be limited to 5 minutes each. Those wishing to testify shall be called forward and give testimony. Staff will then be given an opportunity to respond to any questions of the commission on any matter which has been raised, and then the applicant will have 5 minutes of rebuttal time, after which the public hearing portion will be closed. Kat, do you know the first is the call to order, and then you need to ask about site visits, abstentions, conflicts of interest, and ex parte.
So we are considering planning action 2021-00158, located at 2181 Birchwood Lane. And were there any site visits? Anyone have a chance to visit the site?
I tried, and I saw linden trees, but I don't know if I saw these particular linden trees. I couldn't find that address.
Okay. Eric, and did you get out there? Or?
No.
Okay. And at this point, we have Aaron give us some information, and if there's any people that want to speak to this matter, they get to speak, correct?
That's correct. Okay. So just the blurb is that this is a request to remove two linden trees from the property at 2181 Birchwood Street. One tree is located in the front of the home, approximately 8.5 feet from the foundation. The other is located in the side of the house, about 3.5 feet from the house. The applicant lists a number of reasons to request the removal, including that the trees are a nuisance, but also that their location to the foundation of the house is likely to cause issues with the foundation in the future. And the application materials are pretty thin. There's a couple of photos and a very long email explaining all of the reasons. Jerry is here, but my understanding, based on the conversation I had with her earlier, was that she didn't intend to present. I've gone ahead, Jerry, and allowed you to talk if you wanted to unmute your microphone and say anything on your behalf. This would be your opportunity.
Well, I listed the reasons why I want the trees to be removed, and I guess everybody read that, or people don't see it.
Yeah, all the commissioners received copies of that in their packet. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so I don't have any much more to say.
Thank you very much, Jerry.
Okay.
So this is the point where if the commission had any questions for staff, I would be able to field them for you. There's clearly no rebuttal. If you don't have any questions for me, this would be the close of the public hearing, and you would begin your deliberations.
Aaron, so this is coming to us because it's a homeowners association, or it's a...
Yeah, so it's kind of – this is one of those ones that's a little bit interesting, because at first blush, you might think that this would be exempt because it's single family. Technically, this property is zoned R2, and the entire subdivision are duplexes that share a common lot line. And the language of the code is very specific that the exemption applies to single-family homes on our two lots that can't be subdivided, but then we define what a single family home is, and this is clearly not that. So if this subdivision were built with single family homes and not connected duplexes, you wouldn't even be seeing this. They would be exempt and they would just be able to remove the tree on their own. But it's for that one reason that the exemption doesn't apply.
And their neighbors, the only people that kind of could complain aren't complaining.
Well, you know, so as usual, all properties within 200 feet received a mailed notice. We queried everyone who's here as an attendee, so I don't believe that there's anyone here who is in favor or against. I haven't received any written comment from any of the neighbors. And what's more, my understanding is that many of the property owners in this subdivision have issues with the linden trees, mainly because of the mess they generate. So does that answer your question?
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks.
I dropped out there for a second. Did you say a number of the neighbors have issues with the trees?
That's my understanding from conversations with other members of the HOA. Remember, we recently went through an administrative action with this HOA to acknowledge the common area and street trees, but these are trees that are on the private property of the individual units. Yeah.
Okay. And did anyone contact you with any issues regarding preservation or removal of the trees?
No, I received no written comment for or against.
Okay. I think we can close the public comment period then and deliberate.
Yeah, that's fine with me. To be honest, I haven't read the full Jerry's full description, but I'm curious if anyone knows if there was any actual like current data that it's affecting the foundation.
There was nothing submitted that I saw that said that there is any actual damage at this point to the foundation, that it was a concern that it could create damage in the future. Is that correct, Aaron?
Yeah, and for that reason, when we noticed this, we're required to also include the criteria that's being evaluated for the removal. And for exactly the reason that you brought up, I attached both the criteria of a tree that is a hazard and a tree that is not a hazard. Now, as we've discussed before, the first clause of the tree that is not a hazard is kind of an odd phrasing because it suggests that the application is approving some other sort of concurrent development. But the reason I included both of those criteria was to allow you the opportunity to consider this removal against the tree that is not a hazard criteria.
Right.
Well, I did get a chance to go out and have a look at the trees. In terms of my visual inspection, they both seemed pretty healthy. There wasn't anything in terms of the health of the tree. I looked at the foundation areas close to the tree. A lot of it was pretty hidden by foliage, but there certainly wasn't any visible damage on the foundation or on the driveway there. And also the owner who was there when I was having a look said that this wasn't the period of time when they're dropping the most sap or debris. But there wasn't any, the photos that I took, which I can't, they're on my phone, but I didn't see any extensive staining or anything on the either the driveway or the path or any cracking. So in terms of ongoing damage, I didn't see anything. So I can't really speak to whether linden trees make things so slippery. I haven't heard that before, but... some of these reasons, I just don't feel like are necessarily reasons that we need to consider in terms of removing a tree. if someone's a homeowner, they're responsible for cleaning out the gutters or hiring someone to clean out the gutters. So I don't really consider that to be a necessarily good reason, but I don't know about the whole slipping issue.
Leaves and debris happen. I mean, you know, it's the linden trees probably just drop a lot of flowers, you know, so that would be messy, but no more than leaves in the fall. Leaves is pretty standard, you know, can't blame trees for dropping their leaves. Aphid poop is usually pretty sticky because it's basically sugar.
That's where I was getting confused, because they said it was so sticky, but then they were saying it was slippery.
Yeah.
Sticky, slippery surface, which to me is a bit of an oxymoron. So I was a bit confused by the sticky, slippery description.
I think for me, if it was, you know, obviously like damaging the foundation, then it's like, oh yeah, that makes sense. But, you know, or clogging sewer line or something, but 8 feet away seems pretty far away to just say, oh, it's definitely going to damage the foundation in the future. They bring up a good point though, saying that, you know, at maturity, you know, Eric, you might know more of that variety of tilia, you know, they're saying it goes up to, what were they, 60, 80 feet, something like that. That is a pretty big tree. I mean, it would be a nice tree, but, you know, I could see them being a little concerned that, they're saying a lot of people are in their 70s. And it's just, they just want something a little smaller. That kind of makes sense to me. You know, no one's here like advocating stopping the removal of these trees. You know, it seems like if the duplex people, if they were against removing the trees, they'd be here representing them, you know.
How tall are the trees right now, you know?
I'd say probably about 30 feet, maybe.
So they're a really good shade tree.
They're a good shade tree. I will say that the one on the side of the house along the pathway is much, much closer than 8 feet. It's probably more like 2 feet from the foundation. And the other factor is that there are a lot of trees in this neighborhood. So that I don't think necessarily the canopy would be adversely affected. But in terms of our decision-making process, we have not been able to approve the removal of a tree in the past just because someone feels it's a nuisance. It's either a hazard or it's sick, it's damaging a property. I don't think we remember that one down off of mountain that people kept coming back for. They just didn't like the tree. They didn't want it. That was making a mess. And my understanding is that we could not find any justification for removing the tree.
The other possibility, we can, you know, approve the application if they have a plan to do something, like if they have a plan to build a memorial plaque, you know, or something that would, you know, thing like a bench.
Yeah.
And then as long as it doesn't affect the canopy coverage for 200 feet or the species diversity or whatever, then that meets those standards.
Yeah. So if it was in the way of some kind of development, then we could approve it, but not just before.
Well, but you could also consider redoing the landscaping and replacing it with a more appropriate stature tree as maintaining landscape. I mean, trees don't live infinite lives, and some trees eventually reach a stature that they're inappropriate for where they are. Yeah. And so if someone were to say, if you were to make a finding that was the case and they were going to replace it so that it is consistent with the landscaping standards, that would be a way to successfully apply the tree that is not a hazard criteria, I think.
That's awesome, Aaron. Well spoken.
Yeah.
Very well spoken. It sounds like they're just too big for the area, and they may cause problems down the line as they grow. So maybe if we put some kind of stipulation to mitigate, you know, with this, although if there's already enough canopy there, there's no use to do that either. I mean, let them take the tree. trees. It's not going to affect anything. And if they're problem trees, if they're too big for the area, I didn't see them there. But if that's the case, hey, sometimes got to go.
I think the tree that's within 3 feet of the foundation, to me, that makes a lot of sense to remove. Because, yeah, I mean, it's a figure 80-foot tree, 3 feet from the foundation. It's like, how can it not affect the foundation? You know, that's
yeah, yep. It would be problematic.
They mention the Ashland Homeowners Association list of approved trees. They have a list of approved trees that they're willing to plant. Crepe myrtle, Japanese maples, dogwood, Kwanzaa cherry, et cetera, all smaller trees.
Yeah. Yeah. They're going to lose a lot of shade on their house, but yeah, I mean, if you feel like we can approve it with like a re-landscaping development criteria, Aaron, then it's certainly not going to have a very adverse effect in the canopy. The neighborhood feels a little overplanted to me, but in terms of how big those trees are going to get, but.
Do one of you want to put forth a motion?
I make a motion to approve the application as submitted. And under the knowledge that they're going to improve their landscaping to plants more suited for their property.
So replacing it with an appropriate, a smaller stature tree.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay, I second. All in favor? Right.
All right, we'll get Chris back in here. Hey, Chris, just want to let you know, now that you're back in the room, that Carrie has her hand raised. I don't know if you want to recognize her or not.
Sure.
Carrie, you can go ahead and unmute your mic.
Hey, am I here?
Yep.
I just want to make a comment on that last action, because I don't know which neighborhood this is, but it's just something to consider. If we use, as designers, we use large stature trees to meet the criteria and the requirement of one tree per 30 feet, they're always going to end up getting too big for the space. And I think that it's just, you know, as tree commissioners, maybe it's something that you could actually look at, which would be amending the code requirement so that the spacing of trees has to do with the ultimate stature of the tree rather than just one per 30, because a lot of those subdivisions that are over by Clay Street, those trees are one per 30 and they're ridiculous. I mean, it's like, it needs to change. That's all. That's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
Thanks,
there's a lot to be said too for the science of giving each tree more soil to grow to its full.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, everybody would be better and they would grow better and they wouldn't end up becoming lopsided because they wouldn't be in each other's space.
Yeah.
It's just, the intention was good, but the outcome is proven to not be perfect.
Yeah,
I agree, Carrie, that that neighborhood feels like it's really getting overcrowded with the trees as they're growing at this point.
Yeah, and if somebody then takes out the two trees instead of one to thin for, you know, it's just, so if it wasn't done like that in the first place, it may take a little bit longer to get a great canopy, but it would be a lot more long-lasting canopy.
And I think we had explored ways to, you know, short of an ordinance change, which is pretty time consuming and onerous, but even just finding a way to encourage that among developers and then offering the suggestion when it comes before us, especially if you're willing to give more soil space, right, per tree. You know,
I think that it needs to be somehow
codified, yeah,
more obvious and clear that that's an option, because yeah, when you're in that mode of trying to get something through the city, you're gonna very rarely allow your landscape arch to say, wait a minute, let's do something better, and have to defend it.
Yeah.
Put that on the list with tree grates. Change it all up.
Right.
Okay, so is Carrie up next? Did I hear that right? Nobody here for 1320 Oregon Street? I think you're muted, Aaron.
Thank you. Yes, as it happens, there is no one here for 1320, and that means that Carrie's application is up next.
Okay, well, call to order planning action tree 2021-00160. This is at 1675 Ashland Street. Owner is Columbia Care Rogue Ridge Apartments LLC. The applicant is Carrie Kincairn. This is a request for approval to remove a single big leaf maple, Acer macrophyllum, at the address at 1675 Ashland Street. The tree had previously been approved for protection associated with the site design review approving the Columbia Care housing project, identified as tree number 5 on the approved plans. The application states that the tree is 13 feet from the edge of the building footing, but the canopy overhangs the building envelope and will be in conflict with the third floor. Any site visits on this one or need to abstain?
Site visit.
Okay.
I tried to check it out. I was a little bit confused on which one it was because the whole area is fenced off.
Pre-protection zone, man.
Yeah, I got to talk with the site supervisor and he pointed out exactly the tree in question and the obvious problem that it's going to meet once that building gets 3 stories high.
Okay. We have a staff report, Aaron.
Not much more to add except for the fact that this site should be familiar to you because we went through this, I believe, in July for a tree that was in the same vicinity that was too close to a garage on the adjacent property. And, you know, like I said, I went and did a site visit when I noticed it after the person on site called me, and it's very clear that it's overhanging the building envelope and is in conflict. For anything more, I'd turn it over to Carrie.
Okay. You're up, Carrie.
Oh, so if you looked at it, there's a lot of mature trees in this corridor that's kind of like along the edge of the property. And this one tree in particular, and I just want to apologize, it should have been, you know, stated for removal in the first place. But that was many years ago, so I'm not going to defend that. It is a lopsided tree because there's two trees on the other side of it that are mature and not coming out. So it's already lopsided towards where the building's going to be. Because my first impression when I talked to whatever his name is, I was thinking, well, maybe we'll just limit up on that side and then, because I didn't want to let them take out trees because they would take them all out if they could. And I just was, you know, my first response is to say no. but I went and looked at it and really considered it. And it would be a silly tree. It's not a hazard. It's just that when the building goes up, it's going to be in conflict with the building itself. If we end up pruning the limbs back enough to take care of that conflict, it's going to be a very unbalanced and non-sustainable tree. And I think it will help the other trees to take it out. So that's all I have to say.
So you've still got, what, 6 or 7 trees remaining in that corridor, at least?
At least.
Any questions for Carrie?
Carrie, forgive me for not looking at this application as thorough as I should have, but I think the whole project that you guys committed before, there was a landscape, proposed landscape and stuff. Do you think with the removal of this larger tree, would you want to increase the size of one of the trees with your other landscape? Or do you think it's a kind of like what you're saying before, bringing up the fact that account for the size of things at their maturity and there's not really the space to maybe make one of those future trees?
I think there's plenty of trees. And in the other corner, let's see, the southwest corner, and preserving forest. You know, we're preserving a bunch of big trees, and if you want to make one of the other trees that's going in be larger, that's okay. But, you know, it's a commercial site with probably not ultimately a lot of landscape maintenance supervision. So the smaller the tree, the better it will survive. If it was a different situation, I agree with that process and that thinking. I just, I don't know if it will actually mean that there'll be a bigger tree there ultimately, because I doubt if it will get the kind of care that would compensate for it being bigger going in and needing to be taken care of better.
Okay.
Just to be honest.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else for the applicant? All right. I'll go ahead and close the public hearing portion.
I think I need a mute and dark.
Yeah. Anybody hesitations with this?
I don't have any hesitation. It seemed really clear. I think even with the removal of this tree, which is not the best specimen amongst those trees, even once it's removed, a squirrel could probably jump from the trees that are remaining. So yeah. It doesn't seem problematic in any way to me.
Well,
I guess my only hesitancy is, like, you know, because this came to us, it might have come a couple times now, you know, the first kind of design plan, then it was the trees next to the garage, and now it's this. It's like, are we missing anything? You know, because a lot of times we approve removals knowing that they are maintaining certain trees, and then it's like down the line, it's like, oh, now we're going to remove one more. Now we're going to remove one more. That's my only hesitancy, but I think in this particular situation, I think a third story building right next to the tree is not going to be good with any kind of tree. And so to me, it makes sense to remove them. And I appreciate, you know, Carrie saying that she didn't really think increasing the size of one of the future plantings would really be the best thing in the future.
So, Aaron, didn't we have a neighbor that was wanting to?
Thank you. I just saw that text. Chris, I know, have we formally closed the public hearing?
Well, yes, but we can formally open it back up. I see Catherine liked to comment.
Yeah, thank you. I forgot that she was here for this particular application.
Absolutely.
Do you want me to promote them to a panelist or just allow them to talk without promoting them?
Yeah, no, you can promote them.
So, Catherine, you can go ahead and unmute. There you go.
Hi, my name is Colin. I'm the husband and my wife is here.
Yeah, oh, hi there.
We're both here. I was going to reflect what Asa said. Well, you guys approved the cutting down of another big leaf maple kind of right next to that. And I was just worried that this was going to become sort of a cascading effect where eventually there were no trees left there.
Yeah, we're really worried about our privacy because this is a giant three-story building right behind our backyard. And we were really glad to see that they were keeping the trees, and then now this is tree two. So it's concerning for us.
And it's like a nice, evenly spaced row of big leaf maples.
On one of the trees, I don't know if it's this tree specifically, but I have seen nesting birds that have kind of like dug out little holes. And so I'm wondering like what kind of protocol goes into checking that there's nesting birds in it or not before we remove the tree, because that concerns me. I have seen that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And when we get to the decision-making point, I was wondering, I saw you guys traded a little bit of landscaping for the removal of a tree. And I think it's the northeast corner of the lot is like kind of barren and very openly, sparsely spaced. So maybe we could get a tree planted over there to kind of offset, you know, the whole carbon footprint equality thing.
Yeah, and I think Carrie might, we can let her back in to speak to some of that, because there is a landscaping plan that was required as part of all of this, and she might, I'm not recalling what all else will be.
Yeah, I remember having seen it at one point, but I don't.
Yeah, what's if I could ask, what's your guys' address?
We're at 477 Litt Way, so I think. Honestly, part of the reason we showed up is because I wasn't sure which tree it was. It was kind of vague. It sounds like it's a tree that won't affect our property directly, but I'm still nervous at like the angle. And yeah,
we're just neighbors.
Sorry, yeah, we're just concerned about 477 Litway.
It's like you abut the corner of the project, don't you? You're kind of
I think we're just inset.
No,
we're exactly at the corner.
Yeah, we're exactly at the corner.
I think. Seems to me these border the property to the south of you more directly, but I could be wrong.
Oh, we tend to agree, but trees are also quite large, so you know you can see.
Yeah, considerable. We honestly weren't sure which tree it was either when we came in. I couldn't access the photos, so it just seemed kind of vague. So I'm learning that as we go. Still concerned about the ripple effect, though.
Sure.
So we didn't have that on a timer, but at this point, I should probably let Carrie back in to rebut.
Yes, I think if you guys have any other, So yeah, it sounds like a couple of issues. If you wouldn't mind addressing, Carrie, just you know the ripple effect and what the future plans are for that corner.
There's three trees in the northeast corner of our property. The whole lot that's in front is empty and will stay empty until there's a development proposed there. So we don't have control over what happens up there yet. When that happens, it will get planted. But the northeast corner right now has three existing trees that are staying. This tree is more down towards the south on the building. There's actually four. So this tree in particular is almost overlaps another tree, and I don't see that it would matter, and there won't be a cascading effect because I'm not into taking trees out, just so you know. I mean, the tree commissioners all know me, but you don't. So I fought them. They finally got me out there and had to show me why they thought it was an issue, and I finally agreed with them. But my tendency is to not. And I mean, all I can say is the cascading effect won't happen because if they ask to take another tree out, I'll just say no. And if I don't do it for them, I'll have to hire somebody else to do it, and I don't see it happening. They're not trying to kill the trees. I mean, they're not. No contractor really cares about the trees. What they want to do is get their project built. So that is the psychology of being a building contractor, is you want things out of the way so you can build a building. But at this point, with that tree coming out, everything is out of the way. So I don't see an issue. The other trees, just for future reference, there's trees at the southwest corner of the property that the neighbor wanted to have out, and we just said no. You know, they hang over his property. They're staying. So the tendency is not to take out trees randomly or without consciousness. So, I mean, so there is a landscape plan. Like, oh, say, so I said there are trees that are staying there in that corner. There's also a plaza going in there, and there are four more trees going in on the east side of the building that are all large stature trees. I actually, there's an existing deciduous, that's going to stay more towards the west of the site than the border. And then there's three new trees, and those new trees are tilias, they're medium-sized tilias. They're not the giant Americanas. But I don't think that it's going to affect your privacy. I think the only person that it will affect is Gary Ashutel, and he wants to cut the whole thing down anyway. So he should be happy, and it shouldn't affect you guys.
Looks like that northeast corner is more of a parking lot, and you've got that large tree number three staying. That's the area we're looking at, right? Number four.
I'm not looking at the tree protection plan. Hang on a second. I'll open it up. I was looking at the planting plan. Gotcha. Tree number 12 is staying. tree number 11, tree number 9, and tree number 10. And I don't, tree number 3, that's down at the south end of the site. No, yeah, the west end of the site, sorry. So I thought that these people said they were at the northeast corner.
Carrie, tree number 3 is identified as the furthest north on the east side of the property.
Yes. And I just was, have I got it backwards?
Yeah, they're on the south, southeast.
They're north.
Tree number 3 is staying. If they're towards, so the southeast.
So I'm quite sure, I'm quite sure they're in the northeast corner, right? The 477.
I thought they're on Lit Way.
Yes, yeah, so Lit Way is to the east of this project. No, it's to the north of this project. Excuse me.
What?
I think that's Parker. They're right next door to Gary Ashtell. They're just to the north.
I think I got myself turned around, and the north arrow is wrong on my plan. The north arrow should be pointing to the right.
Oh.
North arrow should be pointing.
Oh, it's not you, Kat.
Open to the right.
All right. So
my map looks good.
Yeah, no, this Lit Way is on the south side of this property.
South side?
South, yeah. Walker is on the north side, Lit Way is on the south side. Or east. South or east.
Yeah,
east.
It's on the east. Right.
East.
So everything was good. Okay.
Good.
So Lit Way's on the east. And
oh yes, at the northeast corner. I'm sorry. Yes.
I guess just to make it less confusing.
Thank you, Catherine.
The two trees, the tree that came out is we asked to come out earlier, and the tree that we're asking to come out now are both behind Gary Ashtell's garage.
Right, not their place.
And that's it.
Yeah. At least we're not the Cartography Society of Ashland.
I always get east and south mixed up in this valley because the way the valley runs, I think it should be south-north.
I know, it's wrong.
Up with I-5, that totally makes sense. Yeah, but
yeah, the tree is directly behind. It looks like a gray outbuilding.
Yeah.
Like maybe it's a kind of a garden shed or some. Yeah.
It's a garage.
It's a garage, yeah.
It's a garage that's been converted into, I believe, an illegal rental. Yeah. And so
I guess then real quick, just on the same page, Carrie, if you've got the planting plan in front of you, is there anything going in that northeast corner? It looks to me like it's a parking lot. You know, you have those big trees staying there, number 3 and 4. And then in the very northeast corner.
There's a big Quercus coccinea going in the corner.
Cool.
Because where there are no trees. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
A Quercus what? What kind of oak did you say?
I think it's a coccinea. Let me check. You know, if you wanted to do something to support the tree canopy. Yeah, it's a coccinea. I would say instead of make another tree larger, add another tree.
Well, that's what I'm just seeing a bare spot there in that corner that joins these folks. And it looks like
there's space. I don't see a bare spot myself, but.
Okay. I'm just going off the white paper here and just barely.
There's an empty spot in the northeast corner that has on the planting plan has a Quercus coccinea going in.
Okay.
Chris, I could pull up the planting plan, but it may just take me a minute to find it.
You could also just give me, if you want to, can you give me the screen?
Yeah, I'll need to promote you. Hang on one moment.
I like being promoted.
In my mind, that kind of addresses the concerns, right? It's a well-treated area. You're ultimately thinning out a space that's not directly adjoining these folks, and then the empty spot that is there now, you're putting an oak in, is what I'm understanding.
You should be able to share now, Carrie.
Yeah, let's just see if I can get this one together. Okay, here it is. Oh, yay, I did it right. Can you see it?
Yeah.
Okay. So here's the oak that's going in.
Okay. Yep.
Here's the tree that we're talking about that's coming out. Mm-hmm. Right here. And I can switch this to tree preservation. So the additions, this is the one that you guys approved to take out like a month ago. And this is the one that we're asking, the additional tree we're asking for. So it's right next to that tree. And, you know, I imagine that what'll happen after this one gets approved is that somebody will come to me and say, well, can we take out this one? And I'll just say, no, you know, it's fine. We're good. But I do think, to go back to what I was saying, is that we could probably get another tree in here somewhere. Like I could move the Quercus over and put a second tree in. So if you want to do something to compensate for that tree being removed, ask for another tree. But rather than asking for a bigger tree, because on commercial sites like this, the trees will do better if they're smaller mm-hmm. going in. But I could find room for another tree if you want. And I'm not suggesting you do that, but if that will make you feel better about the decision or make the neighbors feel better, that's fine.
I wonder if that begs the question of the point we just made in the previous action of overplanting.
Yes,
area.
It does. But I mean, it's pretty well treed already in the future.
And it looks like you've got a number of shrubs going in under.
A bunch of stuff. Yeah, so those shrubs are Garia Fremontii and actually Pinus sylvestris. So there's a ground cover pine and a Garia.
Okay. Could we check back in with the other attendees on this one? I just want to make sure we're understanding correctly. And is that
sure? I think we can do that. Carrie, can you go ahead and stop sharing your screen for a moment, please?
Yeah, I think. Let's see. Do I know how?
Well, I just stole it from you, so there's that.
Good. That's what needs to happen. You need to take control.
What's up, Asa?
I'm not that good at Zooming.
So, Catherine, we're kind of going a little bit out of the standard protocol here, but Chris wanted you to be recognized to be able to speak to the conversation that just happened there, so I've allowed you to speak again.
Yeah, thank you. I also want to acknowledge that we didn't email you guys to plan to speak, and so I appreciate you guys letting us in. We literally opened the mail like 2 hours too late, so I appreciate that. Yeah, it sounds we're feeling a lot better about it now that we know where the tree is and kind of what the plan is moving forward of not removing more of them. So yeah, I guess that's my closure, is we're feeling all right about it. Excited to hopefully get some more trees, because that back corner is a little barren, but it's all right. So yeah, we're feeling all right.
Yeah, I think at that maturity, it's nice to say, it looks like there's a lot going in that corner. Ideally, it'd be a nice buffer, is what I'm seeing. But yeah. Okay. Now we'll close the public hearing portion. Be ready to make a motion or more discussion on this?
I can make a motion to approve as requested.
Is it working?
I second. All those in favor by show of hands. Oh, shoot, we lost Asa.
Do we still have a quorum?
Still have a quorum. So yeah, okay. Motion carries. Thanks, Eric.
Okay.
Both twice.
That was for Asa.
Okay. Let me send you a new link right now. So Ace is having some technical difficulty. I'm going to send him a new link right now because the one he has, he says, isn't working. So give me one moment while I do that, please.
Chris, maybe an error. And can you chime in on this? It seems like if they're ready to work on that on-ramp emergency access to the freeway for fire evacuation, and if our approval is of timely urgency. Can we deal with that while we have a quorum, just in case Asa can't get back and Chris has to leave in like 3 minutes?
Yeah, so no worries there, because street trees are ministerial. Technically, we don't even need your recommendation. Okay. So that's not a concern.
I didn't want to be the obstacle to that.
Absolutely. I just sent Asa a new link. Hopefully he's going to join. Chris, you have a hard out, right?
I can push it a few. That's okay. I'll pop out and make a phone call. But
okay. Then do we want to go ahead and move on to the Oak X Tree application then?
Yes. So yeah, color order planning action T2-2021-00029. This is 822 Oak Street. Applicant owner is Suzanne Zapp for Overlook Drive LLC. This is a request for outline and final plan approval for a 5-lot, 4-unit performance standards subdivision for the properties located at 822 Oak Street. The application also includes request for a variance to allow a private driveway to serve 4 units where dedication of a public street is typically required, a conditional use permit to modify non-conforming development where the required driveway separation is not provided for an avenue, an exception to street standards to not install city standard street frontage improvements along Oak Street, and a street tree removal permit to remove 3 oak trees. You may have a look at this one. I drove by and probably need a little insight from Aaron here. I think we're primarily focused on the street tree removals. Is that right? Those 3 oaks?
Sorry about that. We just got Asa back. You're worried about everything in the application that has to do with trees, including the tree protection plan, the street trees that are requesting for removal, etc. Your purview is all of the elements of the subdivision that include trees. The main request, of course, is the removal of the 3 oaks along the street frontage there. I've promoted Amy to a panelist, and Asa is there, and I'm not sure why we don't have his camera on. There's Amy. And we got Asa back. Great. Hi, Amy. Good to see you.
Thank you.
Chris, I'm sorry. As I was dealing with Asa, did we do questions about ex parte conflicts, etc.?
Well, we did site visits. Anybody need to abstain? No. So we're on to your insights for us.
I don't have much more to say than what was in the blurb and what I just highlighted. So I'd really hand it over to Amy, and also her client, Suzanne Zaff, is here. Is she going to be speaking on the application as well, Amy? Okay.
And so we had some public comment on this one as well. Is that the email you sent?
Risa Buck has commented on this and would like to speak about the application as well. Yes.
Aaron, do I have the ability to share my screen? I do have photos of the trees.
You do now. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Can you all see the PowerPoint screen?
Yep.
Okay. All right. Good evening, commissioners. Thank you for your time and your service to the community. I'm representing Suzanne Zaff and Stephen Zaff, the property owners, Overlook Drive, LLC. This evening, Mike Oxendine, he was our project arborist. He was unable to be here due to a previous teaching commitment. This is an overview of the property. The property consists of 2 tax lots. There used to be a house on the southern portion of the property that was removed. It was in a pretty derelict condition. The trees that are proposed for removal are on the left side of the screen near Oak Street. The 2 cedar trees are at the top of the narrow portion of the property adjacent to the home there. And then there's an oak tree near a barn at the north portion of the property and one on the south side of where the proposed private drive is. This is
Amy,
the
tree being a title page.
Oh,
do you?
Well, let me show you more slides then.
Yes.
Well, if you're going to refer to the slides, it would be helpful to be able to
see.
There
we go. Them. Yeah. Can you see it now?
There we go.
Thank you. Yeah, okay. Much better. Yeah.
Super. Okay. So the trees are on the left side, the oak trees. There's two cedar trees that are along the north property line. And then I think I can turn on my little laser pointer. Okay. So the oak trees are here. There's two cedar trees here. There's a small tree here. And then a small oak tree up here. And those are the ones that meet the city's criteria for being on the plans and being considered for protection. This slide is the one that should be in your packet. It shows tree protection for an adjacent tree at the neighbor's property, the removal of these three trees, protection for the two cedars, protection for this tree, and protection for the oak tree on the north end of lot 4. These are some pictures of the trees over the years. The first picture on the left is from April of 2019. This one is from January of this 2021. This stuff was hiding the burrowing at the base of the tree, and we'll show you a picture of that. These are the trees. They're kind of mounded up above the street, as you can see. There's utilities under the trees. This is the burrowing action that's going on the tree on the south end. You can see them here. These are, there's 5 water meters that are already behind the sidewalk there, showing the impacts of the existing utility improvements. These are the two cedar trees looking to the west, and these are the two cedar, looking to the east. These are the two cedar trees looking back to the west. This is the tiny little oak tree that will be protected on the north end of the one property. And then I don't have one of going down the driveway of the small oak tree that's also proposed for preservation. So the oak tree removal is requested primarily. Mike goes over it really well in his report. The conditions of those trees and the let me turn off my share.
And I'm sorry to interrupt, but I really do need to go, guys. I think it looks like if technology is working, sorry to have to bail.
Thanks, Chris.
See you next time.
Bye.
So Mike reviewed the trees and found that all of them are showing signs of decline. There's a large burrow at the base of the one tree, that they all have numerous dead branches up in the crown of the trees, and they're showing obvious signs of branch shedding. He doesn't believe that they are preservable. We had actually come at this project with these trees being preserved. And then we brought Mike in, and he set us straight that that would be, it'd be an effort that wouldn't be sustained through the amount of work that has to happen to those trees. So his recommendation was to remove them and then plant new oak trees in their place. And additionally, he and I talked about the cedar trees and whether those would be negatively impacted through the creation of the swale system, the stormwater swale. And he didn't believe that they would be, that the swale is outside their drip line, and it would actually provide them a source of some water that they normally wouldn't have if there was nothing going on there. So those trees wouldn't get wet feet from being in the swale. They'd be adjacent to it. So they'd be, they benefit from the water that is captured in that swale area. If you want, I can go back and show more pictures, but yeah, we had originally come at this project with the intention of saving the two northernmost bigger trees. Then Mike came in and found their condition was not worthy of preservation.
Wow. So from what I'm looking at, it looks like the road to those 4 lots is going through where those 2 oaks are.
The road is going in the same location as the existing driveway. So it's on the south side of the tree that has the burrowing holes in it. The driveway does get wider. The existing curb apron is only about 16 feet. So the curb will be widened and it will get closer to those trees. But the driveway is not going through those northernmost trees. It's more of the condition of them when they start grading for the utilities, putting in the water meters, putting in the storm drain lines, the electrical transformers and those things.
In your planting plan for the new development, does that include the oaks that you're going to be replacing these trees with?
There's not a planting plan per se because of the nature of the application, but the plan is to north of the driveway, that will be open space. And that open space will have a that bioswale water detention. And so we will do a landscape plan for that space. And then those trees will, the goal is to actually plant at least, I think, one, maybe two new street trees, and then put the other ones in along the north side of the driveway. But those would be included. We'll have to come up with some sort of a plan because there will be an irrigation plan and those sorts of things. We have to do a stormwater maintenance agreement with the city. So it's not like a traditional subdivision that has a whole layout of all the lots, but there will be a plan submitted for that open space and we will include the trees. I think Mike suggested that that we replant with oaks.
And you'll be following Mike's guidance in terms of development of your future plan. He's your arborist for this project.
Yes. Yes.
If the commissioners have no more questions and Amy's done with her presentation at this point, we should ask others who wish to provide testimony to enter and do that. Amy, were you done? So, sorry, which one of you is vice chair? I don't recall.
Aaron, can I add one thing? So there's a forest of ailanthus trees along the east property line. And they've been mowed, they've been removed, they keep coming back. And the property owner was hoping maybe there was some knowledge about how to stop the ailanthus invasion.
Kat or Asa, which one is you, the vice chair? I don't recall. I'm sorry.
Asa. I think.
Asa, so with your permission, I'm going to go ahead and make Amy be an attendee and bring in Risa. Is that correct?
I'm
frozen. He's gone.
That's because I clicked on the wrong thing.
Okay. I can be the vice chair if you like. Yes, go ahead and bring in the public commentary.
Terrific. Thank you.
There he is.
Thanks, Amy.
So the public commentary is going to be about the oak trees that we're looking at.
Well, this is Risa, and she is here to speak on the application.
Okay. Just see your forehead, Risa.
Well, that's my best part.
Okay, there you go. Hi.
So, just to provide a context for this permit request, I live at 798 Oak Street, and my property borders 822 on two different places. It's to the north and to the east where my property connects with 822. And I've been wrestling with the challenges of this. I'm hoping that you all had an opportunity to read what I had sent prior to the meeting, because I come to this meeting with a personal plea and really a lot of anguish around the way that 822 Oak has handled the ailanthus that they speak of, because that stand of ailanthus was removed. There were about 21 trees that were removed without a permit from the city, and they had claimed that they were within, they were a small enough diameter where it didn't matter. And that just was not true. The range of size that were removed in the worst possible way were from 8 inches to 15 and a half inches. And as a result of that removal, the proliferation of ailanthus on both parts of my property is staggering to see what's happened. And they are now at the base of a 20-year oak tree that I rescued from blackberries 30 years ago. And my olive tree, it has, you know, they have penetrated, they are moving east. So I don't know that this is the format for actually dealing with that, but it in a contextual way, when I hear that those three oak trees are, you know, on the chopping block, I look at this particular piece of property and have to remind myself that I'm living in a city that is a Tree City USA. And I'm just not seeing the love for the proper stewardship of existing trees. And I actually had reached out to many people trying to educate myself, because resources do not exist within the city of Ashland to help people with invasive trees. And I feel the pain of 822, and I am steeped in it myself, applying pesticides, herbicides, which is not really what I feel comfortable doing, but in this case, it's critical. So in an email from Christina Lefebvre this morning, Christina, who is a part of Bee City USA and the Bee Pollinator Program, which my property is a part of, one of her comments were that oak trees are the keystone species in the Rogue Valley. And if indeed all three of the oak trees are not savable, I mean, I don't know that I feel comfortable. I mean, Mike Oxendine is a great guy, and I know him. I've worked with him when he worked in the Parks Department, so I don't want to slight him or the people at 822. I've reached out to Suzanne several times trying to share my knowledge with her about my research. So if the trees are indeed not savable, then, you know, it wouldn't make sense. But what's also true about that piece of property, I've been neighbors with 822 for 30 years. And what's true about the existing trees that have not been cut down, the plums, some oak, and all the ailanthus were removed. But sorry, I just lost my train of thought. Those remaining trees are survivors. They have not gotten any irrigation. They haven't gotten any pruning. They have seen no love. And so I would just like to question whether or not a little care, a little attention might be able to save one or two. That's all. Just token oak trees from the past. Of course, they can be replanted. And oaks are very slow growing, and it will take a while. That's it.
Thanks, Risa. Is there anyone else that's speaking here on behalf of this project? You're muted, Aaron.
Thank you. All the other remaining attendees are here for the next application. Risa was the only one here to speak for this application. So staff doesn't have any response to her remarks, but we should bring Amy back for a rebuttal.
Okay.
If it's possible, can we keep the Atlantis stuff out of this? I don't know.
The Atlantis thing feels like a different issue, and I would like to address that at some point. We need to have it on our agenda, Aaron, because Risa's been trying to get the Tree Commission to address this for a long time. So, but I think we need to really stay focused on the oak trees, just in the interest of time.
Me too.
So my only rebuttal is that we did originally intend for those trees to be preserved and brought in a professional who knows about trees, and that professional recommended the trees be removed. So instead of us coming back with tree removal requests after an approval has been made and we're in the Birchwood situation or the Ashland Street situation that you had just before you, he felt it would be better to take the trees out now that are not in good condition and replant and get a jump start on the new canopy of Oak Street being developed. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Can we close the public hearing portion and have a discussion amongst the commissioners? Peter and Asa and Eric, did you guys get to have a look at these trees, the health of the trees specifically?
Yeah, but they're just kind of typically old oaks, you know, just surviving along. They have issues, but, you know, you could prune the dead out. And I agree, you know, it's sort of like if they can be preserved, why not preserve them? You know, at the same time, oaks don't do good with construction impacts. You know, they have survived without water, but they haven't had construction, which is different. You know, regrading, whether it's applying soil to the grade or removing it, is really going to be bad for those oaks. You know, I think Mike Oxendine is a really knowledgeable arborist, and, you know, he says they're not in the best of shape, but, you know, that's like someone's opinion saying that a tree's overgrown or that it's in, you know, it's not really in decline. It just shows the dead stuff for decades, you know, that's happened. But in his opinion, the likelihood of preserving these trees and improving their health is very poor. And they're all elevated along the streets on the small berm, adjacent to the public utility connections and driveway. These trees in their current state would respond very poorly to even slight environmental changes. So, you know, we could potentially advocate for saving of any tree that's not in direct path of the bulldozers clearing for the driveway and the excavations for the sidewalk. But, you know, he's a knowledgeable dude, and I don't think he'd want to basically remove the oaks, I would hope, out of convenience. I don't think that's something, you know, he would do. I think he's realistic with what's possible, and I think he advocates the trees really well.
I agree.
Do you have any thoughts on it, Peter? Did you have a look at them?
I did have a look. For what it's worth, I thought the oak tree in the middle appeared to be in decent shape. I know, you know, that in the future that might not hold true with construction and such, but and if that's that tree or possibly the two trees to the north were not in the way of anything, it might be worth seeing how they fare. And it, I don't think it would be that difficult to remove them later. Although I, you know, depending on what kind of construction is necessary, it might pose a problem. But right now, the middle oak and maybe the northern one looked all right to me.
Okay.
the southern one is the one with the big hole in the base. Looks like that's more in the way, so I think that's easily a removal of it. Just my thought on the what I saw there.
Yeah, I would kind of be tending to agree with all of you on that. I mean, that would the one with the burrow under it definitely looked like it would not survive any kind of further impact. It's so hollowed out and rotting.
Right.
And it's also difficult to not what is this? Someone's commenting. It's also difficult to argue with Mike Oxendine, who I know really loves to preserve trees wherever possible, if he's had a good look at these trees. So this is a difficult one in my mind.
Yeah, I think if they were to push the driveway south, you know, up Oak Street, they could, you know, clear that one oak tree in decline and preserve the other ones. That, you know, I don't know, you know, with the plan of the swale, you know, I'm not quite sure. And then maybe even the lot, you know, distances to the south there for lot number one, you know, maybe it's there because that's where it has to be. I'm not quite sure. But yeah, if there was a tree I'd like to see get preserved, it would be that one central, that larger black oak. But that's really close to the excavation of the swale, it looked like. You know, between excavation, is there a sidewalk going in, curving around these trees, or?
They've asked for a waiver on that, I believe. I don't think there is a sidewalk on that side of the street. It's on the other side. Is that right, Aaron?
Correct.
So not having a sidewalk is good for the future trees, you know, and those trees. I mean, you know, if we did preserve that tree, we basically, I think the tree protection, you know, excavation looks like it's going well under the canopy of that, of those trees. You know, it's trapped essentially between the road and excavation.
So there'd be no way to put up adequate tree protection for the drip line.
Yeah, what I'm seeing there wouldn't, yeah. Unless they reduce the size of their swale, which I think would be a bad call. I'd say a swale should be huge.
Yeah. I think he's probably looked at that pretty carefully, and it sounds to me, I mean, I like oak trees too. It sounds like they need to come out, but
there is also, kind of, I noticed, active nesting in that middle large oak. It's probably just a squirrel or something, but still, it's somebody's home.
Yeah, as far as wildlife, you know, any kind of contractor would just have to assess that at the time to see if it's legal or not legal to remove.
Can we, what do you think about having them try to preserve those ones on the northern corner and just seeing if they can do a tree protection and remove if it becomes unsalvageable. I mean, I trust Mike Oxendine's judgment on this, but I don't know. What do you guys think?
Sounds like what I'm reading is the utilities are a problem with those tree utility and water connections. So I think that was maybe the message that came up.
Yeah, the five water meters. So the water meters were placed there, but then the trenching never went onto the property.
That's right.
So they need the trench across the whole front of the property?
I think right near the base of that central oak.
Oh, and they're also going to have to install sewer lines as well.
I think they're doomed, but I don't think there's any way to protect them through what's going to happen.
Yeah, Mike knows more than me. He says there's very slim chance.
All All right. Are we ready to make a motion? It sounds like most of us are leaning toward deferring to Mike's judgment on this in terms of the recommendation for removal of these trees, as yep. much as we hate to see them go. Yep. Any further comments that we need to be noticing, Aaron?
Negative. I think if you guys are ready to entertain a motion, you are ready to.
Does the tree protection plan, is it including adequate irrigation for the trees they are trying to protect?
The tree protection plan, as it's in your packet, simply shows the location of fencing around those four trees to be protected. But if you want to make a condition that there needs to be monitoring for adequate irrigation, I mean, those trees are probably not being irrigated now, I would say.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like they've had any irrigation.
That could have a negative effect on them too, on oaks. To introduce them to water if they haven't been getting it.
The oaks are going. It's the cedars that we're talking about, right?
Well, and there's two small oaks to be protected as well.
Right, in the back corner.
Mm-hmm. Well, if they make the effort to save them, perhaps they will give them a little water.
Well, perhaps if in my experience with developers, et cetera, we should say something about it. They won't do anything that would cost them more money unless we give them a little hi-ho, you know? Yeah. Like, you should protect them, you should water them, you know, like give a suggestion of some kind.
Yeah, we could give the suggestion basically to follow their arborist.
That's
arborist direction as far as whether the trees they're protecting need additional watering during construction.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I like that.
I'd also like to make sure that there's in their future planting that they are going to be replacing these oak trees as per Mike Oxendine's recommendation. If we're going to follow him, his recommendation to remove, then I want to make sure they follow through and follow his recommendation to replant more suitably in a better location where they have a better future. Does that sound good?
That sounds great, yeah.
So let me read to you what I have is a motion to approve the application with the condition that the project arborist monitor the protected trees for their health during the project and that... three oak trees be mitigated by oak plantings as per Mike Oxendine suggesting.
Correct.
That's cool. Yeah.
Thanks, Aaron.
So who makes that motion?
Kat just made the motion and I read it back, so we don't have a second yet.
I'll second that.
Second.
All in favor?
All in favor.
Okay. Motion passed.
That was hard.
Yeah. I hate to see oaks get cut.
Yeah.
And if you can still hear us, Risa, please do come back at some point and try and address the Tree of Heaven issue. It definitely needs a separate discussion, though.
So at this point, the next application is for 192. Mark, I'm going to ahead and allow you to talk. Are you going to be presenting or just Tom or both of you?
Both of us probably going to talk.
Sounds great. I'll go ahead and promote you to panelists now.
What item is this?
This is the second of the two type 2 items at 192 North Mountain.
Okay, thank you.
And you got the script, right, Asa?
Yeah, I do. Planning action T3-2021-00003. The property is 192 North Mountain Avenue. The owner is the Hodgins Family Trust, Robert and Beverly Hodgins Trustees, the Mary G. Walter Living Trust, and Steve White, applicant. KDA Homes, LLC. a request for annexation of 7.9 acres and outline plan approval for a 52-unit residential subdivision for the property located at 192 North Mountain Avenue. With annexation, 7.9 acres of the 10-acre property would be brought into the city with R1 to 5 single-family residential zoning, and the entire 10 acres would be subdivided to create 52 residential lots and 8 common areas. The application also includes requests for an exception to street standards to not install a park row planting strip with street trees on the proposed bridge over Beach Creek, a limited activities and uses permit to install a bridge over Beach Creek in order to provide street tree connectivity to North Mountain Avenue, and a tree removal permit to remove 4 of the site's 25 trees. Single family residential.
You don't need to read the rest of that. It's fine. Hey, Mark, glad to have you here. For some reason, Tom is not promoting to a panelist. Tom, I've allowed you to speak. Can you go ahead and unmute to see if we can hear you at least? So, Mark, I don't know if you have the ability to... Oh, it's finally promoting him. Let's see if that works.
I can try to text him.
Tom, can you go ahead and unmute your microphone and see if we can hear you? So he's listed as a panelist now, but his mic is still indicated that it's muted, and I've asked him to unmute.
Not now.
Oh, perfect, Tom. Now we can hear you. Great.
Thank you.
In terms of giving a staff report, the blurb is pretty detailed, and considering we have Mark and Tom here, I'd prefer to hand it over to them to present the application on their behalf.
Thank you, everybody, for, as Amy said earlier, participating in civic affairs and so forth, and Aaron, you're doing a good job monitoring the con there. My name is Mark Knox, 276 West Nevada Street in Ashland is my address. And Tom Madara, who's a landscape designer and architect, is our project architect and arborist for this development in the center of our city. And I'm sure everybody knows where the property is. It's right below the courtyard, along the tracks on Mountain Avenue, quite a large piece of property. Has the old farmhouse nestled in to around some large, pretty large mature trees. Not in the greatest shape, some of them, most of them. I would say overall they've been neglected. We're looking at doing a pretty significant development on this property. And but I'll start out saying that I think we're very responsible developers. We are going to save the old home. In fact, I've designed the subdivision pretty much in context with not only just the neighborhood as far as density goes and lot patterns and connectivity, but really in many ways around the old house and the trees. And for example, the large massive oak just to the south of the house. I designed the common area of the entire subdivision or a good portion of it in front of that tree to protect it, but also to with the intent to give the appearance of that old streetscape of that old house. And it could easily accommodated some development, but it just wasn't worth the risk. And I just feel like that was that's something we really wanted to do to set the tone. So, and I'm going into this because I think it's a big enough project where we just don't want to talk about trees necessarily. I want to make sure our involved citizens know what's happening into the community. So 52 units, we are doing 8 affordable units. We're working with Habitat for Humanity. We are connecting the vast majority of the streets except for one, and that has a lot to do with some traffic management issues. on the upper southeast side of the subdivision. The main street that comes into the subdivision is literally splitting the two most magnificent trees, if you will, which is, if you're looking at your map, tree number 16, tree number 18, and number 16, I'm going to pull up my magnifying glass, is the 60-inch black oak, and that 18 is the ponderosa pine, 30-inch. And I'm hoping that you guys have it in your packet, some photos, but the idea is that the new street would cut right between them, and there's just ample enough room not to have any effect on those trees, which is really exciting. There is a request, or we're asking for an exception to the street standards where we're not putting street trees on the bridge that crosses Beach Creek. Obviously, that has structural integrity issues, engineering issues, but it is one of those items that we need to request an exception for. I'm going to let Tom probably talk, or at least answer questions as to the four trees in question. Just to point them out, there, if you're looking at a map or the site plan, tree number 3 and 4, they're hugging next to this old structure that's leaning. That's that one on the street that is kind of leaning, I think, towards the sidewalk. Even pretty questionable. The house itself, one of the trees is actually coming out of the foundation in the back of that house. Another tree is number 6, which is a cedar tree that as it grows, it'll get into some power lines. And then tree number 17 is a pretty questionable, I guess, oak tree behind, down in the kind of an embankment, if you will, of Beach Creek. Our goal is to do right by the community, right by the property, right by the neighbors. And, we're going to plant another 138 trees with this project. And just brief, I don't know if you had a chance to actually look at the proposed development plan, but we're also doing this development where it's a very unique pedestrian friendly or human scale type of development, where the heart of it is there's a promenade that cuts east to west, allowing neighbors to, cut through shortcuts, but where neighbors look at each other and there's porches that are activating the common space in between. We have alleys where we could put them, and making for a little bit more user-friendly streets too, as well. But like, all new developments, they'll all have new landscaping within the park rows, the buddy of the sidewalks and so forth. So very proud of it. But if you have any questions, please ask me about it. But I think, Tom, you're really the expert. I'd like you to just answer any questions on four trees in question.
Yeah, real quick, Mark, were you saying the alleyways are going to be public access points for the different neighborhoods to cut through that?
Yeah, and there's a plan in your packet that is a colored plan. Any of the plans will work. Right in the center, there's a east-west route. It's a pedestrian-only route. But then on parallel with that, there's a couple of alleys. Of course, they're public. I don't know why people would necessarily want to walk down them compared to the open promenade cut through. But, yeah, they'll all be public.
Okay, thanks, Mark.
I have a question. The photographs of the trees that you have are the ones that are going to be removed. Is that correct? You're proposing removal?
I think I submitted a variety of photos of trees. I think a couple of them I wanted to show there's some neglect, and that's something to point out. I think that the commission had a condition on the last project about the arborist monitoring during construction. That's pretty much standard. Expect that. Go ahead and add that. That's something we're expecting. But yeah, I would say pretty much all the trees need some love, and okay. And really taunt the guy to manage that.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure because you have tree number 16 photographed, but that's the 60-inch black oak, which is supposed to be remaining, correct?
Yeah, I think that I want to show that because there was, I don't know if you guys recall, well, last September during those winds, a massive limb came down, crushed the car, but I think in that picture I circled cut limb, if you will, it needs to be severed, you know, right now it's just, I guess, in splinters, broken off in splinters. So.
I guess I could interject here, too, that part of the tree protection plan highlights the fact that some of these trees need to be pruned. I mean, that's obvious that they've been neglected for many, many years and left to be what they are. The four trees that we're proposing to remove, though, are, if you've been to the site at all, you can clearly see the rationale behind it. They are in less than poor condition.
And they are western red cedar by the power lines on Mountain Street. It looks like an almond tree at the corner of the garage and a tree at the back of the garage. Is that correct, Tom?
I'm not sure what you're referring to as the garage, so I'm not sure that I can say exactly. The almond tree that's existing is on the neighbor's property. That's number one. I mean, it's kind of bridges the two properties, and that's to stay. The walnut number two is definitely on the neighbor's property, but we are, you know, protecting it and moving the driveway access through that area to accommodate the root zone of that tree. It's tree number three and number four, the oaks that are adjacent to that structure. And Mark, what is that? That is that a house? Is that a garage? What is that?
It's both. In the back there was some residence to it, but it was, I think, historically a garage in front.
Well, both of those trees are just, I mean, I can't speak to the fact that they are in anything other than terrible condition. Well, I mean, I don't know what else to say. And then number 17. Yeah, 17 is in the shadow of that large oak. It is in and of itself in very poor condition as well. A lot of broken branches. The structure is non-existent. And as the larger oak continues to dominate it, it's only going to get worse. And then what's the last one there?
That's on his street, the cedar.
Yeah. And that's one where the power lines are an issue. And it is only going to get worse as the power company comes along and tops that thing and makes it look worse than it already looks.
Were there any further questions for Mark or Tom from anyone?
So just for clarification, it's tree number 6, tree number 17, tree number 4, and what's the fourth tree?
Tree number 3. 3, okay. 4, 6, and 17.
All right, thanks.
You're welcome.
Got it. Thank you.
Aaron, was there anyone else present to speak about this?
Yeah, so if Mark and Tom are done, there's at least one party that I believe wants to speak, and there's two others that have added since we started the meeting that may want to speak. So I'm going to go ahead and remove Mark and Tom from being panelists and go to that. Thanks, Mark. And for simplicity's sake, is it all right with you that if I just allow them to talk instead of promoting the panelists? All right. So let's go ahead and start with the Fallons, because I know that they were here. Hello, party of Fallon. Good. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm really here to just listen.
Okay.
My next door neighbor.
Yep.
Has submitted a question or two, and so I was really wanting to hear the response to the question.
I'm sorry. I'm not sure I'm familiar with what question you're referring to that your neighbor submitted.
I didn't. I thought a question was submitted by Sue Whiteman.
So if she responded to a comment generally to the application that didn't necessarily deal with trees, that wouldn't be addressed in this setting, because there's public comment for the planning action generally. But unless it was specific to trees, that wouldn't have gotten forwarded to the tree commission. Do you know what her comment was with regard to?
I believe it had to do a question about some tree removals that might affect erosion along Bear Creek. Not Bear Creek, excuse me, Beach Creek.
Okay, well, I'm afraid I didn't get any written comment from, who's the name again, please?
Sue Whiteman.
So I will consult with the senior planner to find out if he received any written remark, but I didn't. And you said you don't have anything to contribute or
I don't have a specific question. No, I was just listening.
Okay. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Aaron.
On Mark, that note, though, Aaron, is tree 17 that's clearly in the riparian area, is raising a red flag with the slopes or anything like that for the city?
Not for me. I mean, no, it does not raise a red flag for me, considering they're also getting a water resource protection zone permit for all of the mitigation that's going to happen, because they're obviously building a bridge across there. So no.
Okay.
Mark, I've gone ahead and given you permission to speak since you have your hand raised. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to respond to the Mrs. Fallon's comment about an email. There was one to Derek on Wednesday, and the question reads, is KDA considering removal of trees under 6 inches in diameter? And number two, if so, has their value for erosion, flood mitigation, and water quality been considered? And all I will say is that we really don't have any your plans to remove anything other than what's been described on the plans. Of course, we want to remove the blackberries. We're going to start a program where the blackberries are removed probably twice a year. We're not going to spray for them, but it's going to be an expense for the homeowners because twice a year they're going to have to pay a crew to go down there and to remove the blackberries. They're a fuse, as we saw it in the Alameda fire. And so that's really our main focus in that particular area. The tree that is in question that is within the riparian area, as Tom was saying, is an unhealthy tree. And I mean, I think from that perspective, that tree will be removed. But it's not our intent to affect the integrity of the soils or have any effect on the creek at all.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it. If you don't mind, I'm going to see if any of the other people that are present want to speak in favor of this application. Is that all right? Gary and Sue, I've gone ahead and given you permission to talk. Can you go ahead and let me know if you have anything to say on this application? Are you here to speak about it?
I think the easiest way to unmute is just to hit your space bar.
And Peter, similarly, I'm going to ask you the same question. Are you here to speak in favor of this application? Okay, so I've allowed both of them to speak, and neither one of them have unmuted and spoken up. So I think we can go ahead, and since there's nothing to rebut, that we can close the public portion of the meeting.
Okay.
Well, I have to say, growing up here in Ashland, that property has been amazing. And looking at aerial photos, you know, it's one of the last zones. You know, Ashland has decided to not expand and rather infill. And that's one of the last fields. However, I think removing four trees is pretty darn lucky for a development this size. And they said they're going to be planting over 100 trees. So on a tree perspective, I think it's a net gain. I'm really stoked that they want to preserve that awesome black oak and the ponderosa pine. I think both are super significant natural features. I'm a little bit confused personally. Tree number three is labeled as a white oak, but in the photograph, it sure looks like a almond to me. Not that it makes much difference because it's super close to the building and probably would be eventually requested to remove due to the proximity to the building. As well as the tree number four, I mean, that just makes sense. It's leaning. It's going to uproot at any moment and destroy that part of the structure. So to me, it all seems pretty, even though it's sad to see the whole natural area disappear, it seems like, you know, Tom and Mark, both, it seems like they're both really, you know, wanted to essentially utilize that whole tree riparian zone as sort of like not try to like force it into like this shape of a development, rather work off of it. And I appreciate that. You know, I think that'd be kind of cool to have the bridge go through. It doesn't make sense to plant trees on a bridge, so I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I'm with you, Acer. I think this is actually probably, in terms of the goal of the city to infill and create more residential properties, this is about the best we could hope for that large field, which actually the majority of this space is just a big grass field without much biodiversity in it whatsoever. So it's I'm happy to see the creek getting preserved and taken care of and more housing and probably more trees ultimately than could survive in the middle of that big dead grass field at this point. So
Tom said he's bringing in 138 trees, right?
Yeah. I hope there's lots of pedestrian thoroughfares for all these connecting streets there. That's awesome to create a good, more pedestrian walkthroughs. So That's great.
Yeah. Thanks for bringing that up, Kat. I think that's super important in future development in Ashland is to consider pedestrian connectivity. And I think that's awesome that they're willing to connect the two, because now people have to go up to the bike path to connect or down to that street just above North Mountain Park. What is it? Stony Point or that, whatever they call that playground. So I think that's great. There's going to be more pedestrian connectivity. I'm ready to make a motion unless anyone else wants to discuss any other concerns or anything.
I'd like to say one thing. I've worked with Tom Madera on a couple projects and he's about as conscientious as they come. I mean, he's an awesome dude. And if he says they're in poor condition, they're in poor condition. So anyway, that place is in good hands. That's it. Go ahead.
Good input. Thanks, Eric.
I make a motion to approve the application as submitted.
Second.
All in favor or yeah, all in favor? I guess unanimous yes.
So whoever's driving the ship, I would direct our attention to going back up to the top of the agenda for item number two, which was a tree removal at 1320 Oregon. And one of you wants to kick us off by reading the script and asking about conflicts, visits, etc.
Planning action tree 2021-00159, subject property 1320 Oregon Street, owner applicant Variety Construction. Description: a request to approve a modification to an earlier land use approval to acknowledge the removal of a tree that was scheduled for protection during a physical and environmental constraints review permit for hillside development. See planning action T1 2019-00083. During this inspection for the certificate of occupancy, staff noted that the tree had been removed. This process is to document the removal and to ensure that a property mitigation tree is planted.
So as is often the case, I put almost the entire thing in the blurb because there's not much to this. This came before the tree commission, God, probably in October of 19. It was, in fact, I remember taking the hard copy of these plans home when we transitioned to work from home for COVID. So yeah, early 20, something like that. It was one of those first lessons of, if I were seeing the same plan now today, when it came before you, I would have called this out and said, this is one of those things where it's like, yeah, let's try to protect the tree so that we can show that we're protecting the tree, even though the tree protection plan just doesn't comport with reality when you look at the proposed development. And if I were looking at the same application today, I would have called that out and said, I think this is unrealistic. And it's a developer who hasn't had a lot of experience working in Ashland. And when they came to get their CFO, you know, there was plantings that weren't done. There were retaining walls that weren't completed. And then there was this tree. And I know it seems like kind of a process to bring to you a tree that has already been removed. Like, what are you going to do? Vote against it? This is the process to make sure that we're getting appropriate mitigation. Since the packet went out, the applicant provided me with some additional supplemental materials. They provided me with a low resolution video from one of their contractors explaining how the grade was already really exposed on one side. Like the tree had very low grade on one side where it was already kind of exposed. And this was the side of the world that was holding it up. But as they were doing that grading, it really left the tree in a place where there was nothing left to hold it up. Truly, they should have contacted me when it was happening. That didn't happen. One of the things that, like I said, the purpose of doing this is to make sure we get mitigation. One of the things they provided me today was evidence of 8 additional deciduous trees that were planted in the backyard at the request of the person who was buying the property. And they wanted me to make sure that I communicated that to you because they felt that those additional deciduous plantings more than make up for the removal of this tree. That's the outcome they're hoping for. And truly, the property is pretty heavily treed. And if you were to ask for instance, a conifer to replace a conifer, I don't know where on this property you would site it, because of how densely treated it is and because of how narrow it is. Considering the plantings that they've done, it, to me, it seems reasonable to accept that as mitigation, but of course, ultimately that's up to you. And that's about all I have to say on this application.
So is this the tree to the northeast corner of the building?
Yeah, sorry. I should have called that out for you. If you're looking on sheet L1.1, we're talking about tree number 12, right next to that air conditioning unit. And you can just see how close to the property line it is. And, you know, that's the tree we're talking about.
What kind of tree was it? Sorry.
It was a pine, and it was identified as just as good. 12-inch ponderous pine. And that's all I have to say.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, this property was, yeah, super skinny, a lot of excavation, a lot of walls, and we did try to squeeze out preservation as much as we could, but yeah, I realized that probably wasn't realistic. Ponderosa pine is really not going to survive construction activity anyway. I mean, maybe, but a lot of them don't. So it's a pretty tight landscape. I mean, if they don't want to plant another tree, I'm okay with that. There was a lot of trees in that grove.
So you got evidence that they had planted several trees?
Aaron? I have to go on site to conduct an inspection before we sign off on the C of O, so I will have an opportunity to do that. When I did my last inspection, they weren't there, but there's some other work on site that I'm going to have to see before we sign off, so I will have an opportunity to confirm that for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think that we need to see that before we can consider if there is any further mitigation necessary, in my mind. But I don't know where they'd put stuff. That's such a skinny lot. That was crazy. I remember looking at that property. Even the deer were having trouble navigating that lot. It's steep.
When are you going to go by, Aaron?
I know they're working on the retaining walls, and I expect to hear from them probably in a week or two, because this is holding up their C of O. So they're motivated to get this completed.
Can we make a contingent upon you confirming what they've told you?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Why don't we do that? And that would help them expedite their C of O. And at the same time, if they're lying, then we can go, hey, too bad.
Is tree number 12 even off their property? It doesn't even look like it's in the dotted lines.
Yeah, it was on the adjacent property.
So the neighbor's not complaining.
No, they actually sent me a letter saying that they were fully in support of the application, and they've clearly I haven't received anything against and everything in favor on this one.
All okay. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, Ashley. Yeah.
Yeah, so can we just make a motion to approve no need for mitigation pending your inspection of the trees that they say they've planted?
That's exactly what I just wrote. Perfect.
All in favor?
All in favor.
Oh, sorry. We got you in.
I mean, you're vice chair, right? Or vice president.
Okay. So technically, we're up against the 2 hours, so we probably do want to wrap this up. With regard to the emergency access on I-5 and the street removal, you guys saw the materials. There's nothing wrong with these trees. It's for the emergency access. I presume you're all in favor of it?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yep.
Unless there's any more discussion on any additional items, that concludes the agenda, but I'm more than happy to.
Good night.
Kat, I did capture your note, and we'll make sure to put, a invasive species / tree of heaven item on the agenda for the next meeting. If you have any packet materials you want to provide for that, please let me know. You know, one of the problems is that oftentimes we eat up the entire meeting with just these land use actions. But I agree with you. It's something that we've talked about time and again. I'm not sure what action we can take, but we ought to at least discuss it.
Yeah. One thing I did want to bring up is following up with my idea about supporting tree planting along the Bear Creek Greenway after the Almeida fire, is I contacted Loma Katsi and made my suggestion about having some kind of community Christmas tree buying from Plant Oregon to get some more mature trees into the planting program for the Greenway, and having people maybe even sponsor trees in terms of watering or buying water bags, et cetera. And they thought it was a great idea, and they're going to contact me closer to the autumn about that. So if you have any input about that, I'd love to hear it in terms of what species would be best for that zone. But I'm sure Loma Katsi has a few ideas about that, as does Plant Oregon. So,
Elanthus, they grow really fast.
What's that?
Nothing. No.
Well, yeah. Thanks for working on that, Kat. I think it does sound pretty cool, you know, especially if we get a like, imagine if the whole Greenway turned into an arboretum, you know, that'd be pretty neat.
Yeah. I mean, why everyone buys these live Christmas trees and then they have no decent place to put it. And so, but we have this greenway that's been denuded, so it seems like a win-win. But they will need to be watered. That's the thing.
Yep.
Yeah. And they need to be transitioned.
And then back to the Atlantis thing. I mean, this has come up multiple times where neighbors or property owners say, "Oh my God, it's coming up everywhere," and that sucks. You know, Atlantis is gnarly. It's beautiful, and then as soon as you cut it down, but it's not like it's not like you cut it down and then all of a sudden it's racing into your yard. It's already been there. The roots are just sprouting. So it's just a matter of time whether the property owner is aware of the fact that the roots are sprouting. You know, it's going to happen, you know, at some point in time, you know, unless like you kill the tree chemically or something, biologically or something, the roots are going to take over, you know. So it's, you know, as far as the size of the trees that were cut down on that Oak Street property, you know, that's bigger than 6 inches. That's a separate thing. You know, Aaron, do we need to talk about that in the future as far as like possibly?
That's a code enforcement issue.
Because of that, it was a vacant lot.
But it's a code enforcement issue, and that's it's a code enforcement issue, and you guys don't do code enforcement.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Unless there's anything else.
Well, I thought Carrie brought up a good thing. You know, Chris had the right word as far as, you know, spacing. It's hard to basically change ordinances and stuff. But, you know, I think even though we or she or, you know, architects and planners, some of them might know that they could be like, hey, realistically, it's not going to work to have the standard spacing on this lot. Can we, you know, I'm sure some of them know that they can advocate for alternatives, but is there a way, is that easy to be like, and by the way, if the trees you're proposed to plant, if that spacing isn't going to be realistic at maturity, you know, there's ways to reduce that spacing or rearrange that spacing.
That's beyond us too.
Well, and the thing is, you know, and this is going to require a little bit of work on staff's part, because I think it's a conflating of certain issues, because street trees do have a spacing standard per feet. And that is true. Most of our landscaping standards, though, talk about X percent of canopy cover by X number of years. So while it's true that we probably ought to address our street tree spacing standard, it's not so much as it affects all of our landscaping standards. And I captured that note. And, you know, I think what we maybe need to do at future meetings is make sure that we try to reserve a couple 15 minutes so we can get discussion in on some of these items. But I'll make sure that I have both of those on the agenda for our next meeting in September.
Awesome. Thanks, Aaron.
Thanks, Aaron. Good night, everyone.
Good to see you all.
Good night.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Take care.